Certainly good to see everyone this morning. As Brother Kevin prayed in his prayer, it is a beautiful Lord's Day, and I'm not complaining that it's in the 40s and 50s here in January. Not at all. But Brother Glenn read from our hearing from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, that will be the text of our sermon this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. It's good to see our young man Mason back also in our presence. He's feeling better, and we're glad to have him back in our assembly, Brother Grant's grandson. So this is the first Sunday of 2019. And I'm going to try real hard not to make this a typical New Year's sermon. Nevertheless, at this time of year, many publications of the year will include articles by experts. Experts that are predicting what they expect to see happening in the years ahead. Some of these experts go to extremes so far as to make predictions covering 10 20 or more years in the future. In the past, a few of these predictions have proven amazingly accurate, while others couldn't have been more wrong. I'd like to share one with you before we get into our sermon. Some of us are old enough maybe to remember this, but back in 1967, a lot of you weren't even around in 1967, but experts predicted that by the turn of the century, technology would have taken over so much of the work we do that an average American work week would only be 22 hours long, and that we would work only 27 weeks a year. As a result, one of our biggest problems, had that prediction come true, but as a result, one of our biggest problems would be in deciding what to do with all of our leisure time. Well, I don't know about you, but that prediction certainly missed the mark as far as I'm concerned in my life. That didn't happen. And so much for predictors. In fact, most of us seem to be very busy people. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah, I say most of us seem to be very busy people. We're always in a hurry. Think about it. We walk fast. We talk fast. We eat fast. And all too often, after we eat, we stand up and say, "Excuse me, I got to run." Did I mention that we have a national park called Rushmore? It's all around us, folks. So here we are, the first Sunday of 2019, and I wonder, how will we do this year? Will we continue to be as busy as we were in 18? Or have we decided to just kind of downshift and put it in low gear for 2019 and just not get so caught up in everything that the world's throwing at us? Will we be busy? Will we make any better use of our time? Will we be looking at the future with anticipation and hope? Or will we be looking at the future of 2019 with dread? Time will tell, will it not? Time, that's kind of what we're looking at this morning. And I want to suggest to you that we all, point number one, we all have limited time. Brother Glenn, again, read in your hearing, he tells us, listen, the reason that we need to walk circumspectly, that we need to walk with wisdom, he says, is because the days are evil. Now listen, if the days were evil, when Paul penned this via the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago, what about today? I'm only 68, and I've never seen the world in the mess that it's in today. I said the world. not just our country, but the world. There are some of you who are older than 68. Have you ever seen it any worse than this? I say the days are evil, so the Bible tells us to redeem the time, buy the time, make the best use of your time. Now, what's he meaning there? Well, I am making the best use of my time. I'm doing everything I want to do. Man, I got to admit, that's not what Paul's saying here. Use wisdom with your time. Is there room for your improvement as a child of God? If we say yes, then make the best of your time. First of all, we must be very careful how we live because our time on this earth, church, is limited. Did you get that? Every breath we take in, inhale, every breath we let out and exhale, the reality of that is we're just that much closer to the end of our life. I say we live on limited time. Think about this. In Psalm 39, listen to what the psalmist wrote. Psalm 39. Let's read. Notice how the psalmist said this at verse 4. Psalm 39 at verse 4. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is simply a vapor. You remember how that corresponds with James 4:14? When James asked the question, what is your life? James answers that question. He said, it is even as a vapor. Our life appears for just a little while, and then it's gone. We live in a land, church, of uncertain death. Take your pick, whether it be a tornado, whether it be an accident of some sort, whether it be a drive-by shooting, again, you just check off on your list. And that shows you just how quick life can be. However, in Psalm 90, at verse number 10, we get a glimpse, and we used this a couple of weeks ago in the sermon about growing older. But in Psalm 90, there at verse number 10, the psalmist says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of use they be 80 years, then life just gets to be that much more of a struggle. And it does. People who are 80, members of the church who are 80, have openly said, I can't do what I could do at 70. And those of us who are approaching 70, and those of you who are 70, I can't do what I did at 60. I told you about the funeral I was in a few weeks ago, where the uncle of the deceased, who was 80 years old, we were talking about the progression of age and how our body begins to break. And he lives out here in a community, and he said this. He said, Jim, a 15-year-old boy could whoop me right now. Well, that's probably right. There's probably some truth to that. That's what happens as we get older. Then at verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Do you see how that parallels with what Paul was saying in Ephesians chapter 5 about redeeming the time for the days are evil? Yeah, that's what it's saying. Let's talk about time for a moment. Here's one unique feature about time. It's consistent worldwide. Hey, 60 seconds in a minute. 60 seconds equals 1 minute, right? 60 minutes equals 1 hour. 24 hours equals 1 day. 168 hours equals 1 week. 730 hours equals 1 month. And 8,735 hours equals 1 year. That's worldwide. So we all have the same amount of time. And oftentimes we throw this out. I'd like to do that. I just don't have the time. Have we reached the point in our lives, physically, yes, but also spiritually, where we have to call time out and perhaps find a spiritual management counselor to help us use our time rightly, to redeem the time? Are we there? Or is it that we've just got so much going on, I don't have time for everything? We hear that so much. Some of you may be like me. We can look cool as a cucumber on the outside, but inside we're like a squirrel in the traffic up in Chicago. Man, I mean, you just got everything going on and you don't have time. Some of you, I just told one of our sisters this morning, she was giving me some advice. And I said, write that note down to remind me, would you? There's just no way. I am awful at trying to remember everything. I can't do it. I just can't do it. There's just an overload. But think about this. This time issue is true for all. Again, the average lifespan figures at 70, according to Psalm 90 at verse 10. James 4:14, that we quoted earlier, life's like a vapor. Hey, we're here for a little while, and then it's gone. Solomon offers some excellent advice in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. Solomon says it like this: let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Think about your eyes. Think about your feet. What your eyes want to do. Where your feet take you. Oftentimes places that a child of God ought not to be going in the first place. Redeem the time. Realize the time, because the days are certainly evil. Our second point is this. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. Galatians 6:10 tells us that. Time affords opportunity. And as we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially, the verse says, those of the household of faith. Paul tells us to be making the most of your time. One version has making the most of every opportunity. Again, why? Because the days are evil. Just think of the time wasted. Just think of the time that perhaps you and I wasted this past week as Christians. How many of us took the time to invite someone to our services this morning? How many of us took the time to get into a study in the privacy of your own home? How many of us took the time to open the Word of God this past week? How many of us Christians, took the time to pray last week? To pray for whatever you need to pray for. Well, that question comes back to Jim Lee. I want you to understand that. And there's times, no pun intended, but there's times when I fail, and I fail miserably. When you surrender your life to God, you're giving up your will to do His will. And let me say this and remind us that God's will is demanding. God's will is not to come in to this worship place and warm a pew and leave and not do anything else the rest of the week and say, I went to church on Sunday. If that's our mindset, and I'm not saying it is our mindset, but as a warning of admonishment, if that is our mindset, we're missing it, church. We are missing it. Now, just think of the time wasted in bars. Think of the time wasted in the gambling casinos or whatever shallow activity you can think of. Think of the time wasted with gossiping and murmuring and backbiting. Or think about all the time wasted worrying about the consequences of the sins that we've committed. We shouldn't even be thinking about those sins committed if we've asked God to forgive us. God's forgiven them. God's forgotten them. Hey, have we forgiven them? Have we forgotten them? Let me tell you, Satan is a thief. He is a robber. He wants to steal your joy as a Christian. He doesn't want you to be happy. He doesn't want you to be excited. He doesn't want you to utilize a lot of time in doing the work of the Lord. No, in John 10, at verse 10, 10a that is, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the objective of the devil. He wants to steal you of any joy you have serving the Lord. He wants to kill you spiritually. He wants you destroyed. What I'm saying is this. The devil wants you in hell with him. And if we don't redeem the time, church, because the days are evil, that's exactly where we'll end up. Let me give you an illustration. One time, Jesus went to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Go ahead and turn to Luke 10 if you'd like. Luke chapter 10. So Jesus pays a visit to three people whom he loved. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. He loved Lazarus dearly. So here we are in Luke 10 at verse 40 beginning. Martha, as you know, gets upset with her sister Mary because you know the story, okay? He goes to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He sits down to teach Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, getting all she can from Jesus. Well, Martha was out in the kitchen preparing dinner. Now watch this. Martha gets upset because Mary is not in the kitchen too. So Martha complains to Jesus. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, Martha. One thing is needful, Martha. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." You remember that story, don't you? Yeah, Martha's just cumbered about with everything else going on in the household. Was Martha committing a sin by fixing a meal in the kitchen? No. She wasn't committing a sin, of course not. But here's the problem. Listen to me. Here's the problem. Martha was preoccupied. Martha was preoccupied with what she was doing that she didn't even realize that God was sitting in her living room. Now let that resonate for a second. Are you and I ever so preoccupied that we fail to remember that God is in our living room? That we're so distracted by circumstances, that we're so distracted by people, that we're so distracted by things in general, that we forget that God's even in our home. Yeah. Here he is. At our easiest, convenient time to just pick up the Word and let God speak to us. In fact, going back to last week, we asked, you know, did we even pick up the Bible? Did we even let God speak to us last week? Or did we satisfy ourselves by maybe coming on Wednesday night? We got that midweek fix, okay, and I'm good. Well, are we good? Think about this. Church, I'm going to ask this in closing. Are there any Marthas among us this morning? Going back to this time issue thing, have you ever noticed? I've noticed this. I always find time for what I want to do. Yeah, I sure do. If I had to put something off with someone that I said I'll do, but if it's something I really want to do, hey, I can't make it. Don't even have to give an explanation why you can't make it, but it's usually because there's something else we want to do, all right? Yeah, that happens from time to time. So what is it in our lives that is preoccupying our time, our focus, our love for God? What is it? You've got your list, I got my list, right? When are we going to start checking it off? When are we going to start improving on that? When are we going to realize that it's not all about me? It's all about the one who died for me. Yeah, so this is just kind of a kickstart sermon to jump 2019 off with, but we're not through, all right? Now is the time to resolve to get our spiritual house in order. And here's some simple resolutions I want to share with you. I've asked a number of the brethren to do some reading for me, so it's that time. You've got your scripture ready to read, all right? So let me share with you some common realistic resolutions that each one of us can really do. First of all, there's some sitting under the sound of my voice here that have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you resolve to obey the gospel? Brother Glenn, will you read Mark 16:16, please?
He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.
There you are. He who believes the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Will you resolve to obey the gospel? Not just this year. What about right now? This very hour? Are you willing to do that? What about this resolution? I will seek the kingdom and God's righteousness first. Brother Grant Clark, Matthew 6:33, please. Will we determine in our lives this year, starting today, to be a kingdom seeker first, to seek God's righteousness, His rule, His majesty, His sovereignty, His authority is first in my life? Will I resolve to do that? How about resolution number 3? I will do the very best of my ability to live up to my calling as a Christian. Brother Cliff, if you will, 2 Peter 1 at verse 10.
Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble.
Will we resolve to make our calling as a Christian and our election of God sure? Will we understand why we are who we are? Resolution number 4. I will do my part in the congregation of which I am a member. Brother Ethan, Ephesians 4 at verse 16, please.
From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the
You've heard that old saying about pulling hen's teeth, how difficult it is. You understand that hens don't have teeth. Do you know, church, hearing what Brother Ethan read there from Ephesians 4:16, that every member doing its share? I wish we could bring our teachers forward. And you see their faces of distress. Number one, because some teachers don't even have students to teach in their class. And those teachers prepare, they prep for such classes. And nobody shows up. Did you know that it's the same teachers quarter after quarter after quarter? Because others will not volunteer to lend a helping hand. Others will not take time for 13 weeks, a quarter, a Sunday or Wednesday, to help lighten the load of our teachers who teach constantly. Read that one more time, Ethan. Ephesians 4:16.
From whom the whole body being fitted.
The whole body, that's this local body here. Go ahead.
Being fitted and held together.
Held together how?
By what every joint supplies.
By what every joint, or joints. By what every joint supplies, go ahead.
According to the proper working of each individual.
According to the proper work of what?
Each individual part.
Say that one more time. Each one?
Individual part.
Each individual part. Folks, that's how the body functions. Look at your own physical body. Look how it works. Yeah, my brain, the center of me, is telling me to do this, to say what I'm saying. What's your brain tell you when a congregation that you're a member of, what's it telling you? I can help out. My sisters need help. My sisters need help. My brothers need help. Let's move it up a notch. Let's come on up to the adults. Well, what will we do? Thank you, Ethan. Hey, I'm going to pray every day. Art 3, look what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says.
Pray without ceasing.
Did you hear that? Pray without ceasing. I'm going to pray. Do you pray every day? Yes or no? Yeah. Do I pray every day? Yes or no? Should we pray every day? We should pray every day. There's always something to pray about. Look at your bulletin. Look at the people you know that I don't know that you need to pray for. There are spouses here who are married to unbelievers who are in need of prayer. Pray for them. And I'll tell you what to do. Let me just give you an illustration. So, we've got the bulletin. Usually put an article, right, on the first front page. Over here is the list of what everyone's going to be involved in our service. Usually on the back page, that's the info page, okay? That gives a listing of what really is going on here at Englewood. Who's sick and then who is in need of prayer. Over here, on this column right here, you see that? There's a list of members / former members. There's a list of widows. You remember what the Bible says about widows? What's that? James 1:27, pure religion undefiled for the Father, and God exists to visit the widows in their affliction and the fatherless in their affliction. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Are you calling on the widows?
of this congregation. They're listed. Hey, they're even listed with the approval of the widows to be put in here. Then there's others who are shut in, who can't get out. Is it just names to you? If I were to ask you this morning, you're a member of the body of Christ here. We've had a sister who could not get out for years. If I were to ask you, how many of you know Sister Lisa today? I know Bobby, I know June. Did you know that their daughter Lisa was a member here, that she used to tip here, but for health reasons she cannot get out? Did you know she had a stroke when she was about 13 months, mind you. I didn't know that. Did you know Ann Morrison, who was once a faithful member here, who is struggling with cancer? Did you know she's just right down the street here in an apartment complex? I know we sign the cards every now and then, and Ann's in that, included in that. Rhonda Grayer, one of the sisters who loved being in our presence, could only get out. She's handicapped. And now she is in the Colleges of Clayton down here on Main Street. Well, I don't know her. But she's a sister here. I've got to interject something about my dad. Years ago at Main Street, back in the 70s, we'd worship, and between the break, before going back at 6 o'clock, we'd go over to my sister, she was nearby, and her husband, and we'd eat dinner as a family, my parents and me and Sandy. And after we would eat, my dad, he would say this so often. He said, "Well, let's go." And when he first said that, first time he said that, I said, "Go where?" He said, "Let's go visit." I said, "Well, who do you want to visit?" He said, "There's a hospital full of people that need visiting." I'm not thinking like he's thinking. So we get up and we go to Miami Valley Hospital, remember specifically. Whatever floor he punched on the elevator, that's the floor we got off of. Don't you know? And I say this proudly. That he would go into rooms of people that he did not even know. And I was following him. And he'd start talking to Jesus about it. I'm Hubert Lee from the Hatred Church of Christ. I want to know if I can introduce you to Jesus. Or are you a Christian? Or, he just had his icebreaker. And he'd go with it. Great man. Sister Tommy, great, great memories. But church, here it is. You've got a lot to pray for. We've all got a lot to pray for. Here's just a new convert. You wouldn't believe her story. You wouldn't believe it. Can I share it? Lost her son at 3 years old in her backyard pool. He drowned. Her way out is dealing with drugs. Now, the easy thing to do for some is just turn a blind eye. We don't want that kind here at Eaglewood. That's exactly what we want at Eaglewood. To show people that they can change their lives through Jesus Christ.
That's right, brother.
How many of you know Christian? You know, some of you have taken her out to lunch. Jesus said, "When you don't do it to them, you don't do it to me." That's Matthew 25. And remember, we've all got to stand before Jesus, right? We've got to give an account of the things done in our body. A couple of the verses in the
lesson will be yours to do with as you so choose. Can I resolve that I'll seek to encourage everyone that I possibly can? Brother Jeffrey, Hebrews 10, at verse 24, please.
And let us consider one another.
Let us consider who, Jeffrey?
One another. Provoke unto love and good works.
To provoke one another to love and good works. Understand this, church, and I know you do, because the next verse talks about missing the assembling. It's hard to provoke one another to love and good works when your seat is empty. But we're to encourage one another. Listen, Bill Wood, I will not procrastinate another hour. 2 Corinthians 6 at verse 2, please. Now is the day of salvation. I want that to sink deep within your hearts, church. Now, today is the day of salvation. And I will resolve to read and study my Bible daily. Brother Scott, 2 Peter 3 at verse 18. But grow. We had all year last year and the years previous to grow. Have you grown? God has blessed us with a new year, a brand new year. What will we do with it? Will we redeem the time because the days are evil? Will we make ourselves a better Christian this year? Will I be more faithful to God this year? Romans 13, verses 11 and 12 says this, "And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Well, there's our New Year's sermon, if you will, for the Englewood Church of Christ, 2019. If you have found room in your heart to make the application personally, I urge you to do so. If anyone here under the sound of my voice needs to make any confession of, listen, I need prayers, I need help, that's what we're here for. We will pray with you and for you. We want to help you in any way that we possibly can. You need to be baptized in the remission of your sins. I'm urging you to do that as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.